Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Tribune Tower, here till 5. And it is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday, yeah. That's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. That was a little bit of Lydia Loveless, who Jim Hankey will be talking to, and she will be appearing live at a live Vinyl Emergency podcast. Vinyl Emergency is this great podcast that's hosted by Jim Hankey, and it's going to take place Thursday, November 16th at 4:30 p.m. at Pinwheel Records, 1722 West 18th Street in Pilsen. We'll get all the details on that. We'll talk about some vinyl, what's going on in the current vinyl numbers, and Record Store Day releases are coming up. We'll talk about Record Store Day as well. And if you want to jump in with any questions or comments about record, vinyl, that kind of stuff, 312-981-7200. So let's welcome Jim to the show. Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? Good?
I'm great.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, first of all, tell everybody about Vinyl Emergency.
Sure. So it's a podcast that's been going on since January of 2016. Our mutual friend Jim Leskowski had reached out to me after hearing me geek out about records on your show plenty of times. And that's when he was starting his podcast network. And he said, hey, why don't you have a show to kind of talk about this long term? So I certainly accepted, and it's been going strong. I've had the opportunity to interview people like Ben Montench from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Roseanne Cash, Dave Porter, who does the music for Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, all about their interest or history with vinyl, what records they remember growing up hearing around their parents' house as a kid, record stores in their neighborhood when they grew up. I think last time I was on, we talked about Roseanne Cash a little bit, and we talked about this weird story of Johnny Cash, you know, buying her the White Album for Christmas,
right.
1 year, you know, and on top of, you know, that funny thing in your head of thinking about Johnny Cash going into a record store and buying a record, you also think like, well, he's Johnny Cash. He couldn't have gotten a free copy of White Album, you know, at that time, you know?
Right.
So what's really neat about Vinyl Emergency is it's not a show just for people who love vinyl and all the intricacies as far as pressings and all the nerdy stuff. What I've discovered kind of in the almost 2 years of doing this is that the show talks more about memories. Like, there's tangible memories, like I'm sure you have with movies, that are associated with records. It's the smells, it's the, you know, what was going on in their life at that time. It's the friend that they went to the record store to buy it with. It's all that stuff. So that's what I think is really encouraging about the show.
Yeah, it's a great show, man. And I was privileged to be on it as a guest, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, very, very early on, episode 13, I believe, and we are approaching 75 now.
75, wow, that's amazing. And everybody can check it out at vinylemergency.com. You mentioned Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. A couple of episodes ago, you did an episode remembering Tom Petty, and that just hurt, man.
It really did. I mean, that was one of those things where I started to realize, actually, the day, you know, that he died, I realized how little music lately I've been listening to in my car, because I tend to listen to podcasts quite a bit, comedy shows, music shows, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Tom Petty's death, it was one of those things where I just cranked his music in my car, and not only did his music sound good, but any music sounded good at that point. Kind of with the windows down and stuff. And he's a guy where, like, you're really hard pressed to find a bad Tom Petty record.
Oh yeah.
Like a flat out bad album.
Yeah.
That episode was just pretty much one where I thought, like, I need to talk to somebody about this, you know, and it wasn't so, it was just a record collector friend of mine, you know, that hopped on the phone with me to kind of talk for an hour and a half about memories we had of Tom. I was lucky enough to see him on this last tour this summer with my dad. So that meant a lot to me to be able to take him to that and enjoy, you know, 40 years of music. Those shows have been really great this summer, and it's just such a loss, especially now it's coming out knowing that he was thinking about releasing a second album of Wildflowers material. Basically, he had recorded a bunch of material. The record company wanted him to only release one record, and so we could be getting some Wildflowers material, you know, posthumously, obviously, posthumously. He might have even done a tour on that without the Heartbreakers. It was going to be like friends of his, like Norah Jones and stuff, that were going to back him up on that. You never know. So yeah, a lot of stuff could have happened. And that was just, since I've loved music, I think I said on the show, since I've loved music, I've loved Tom Petty. And that's why it hurt so much.
Yeah, you know, and as you mentioned, you'd be hard pressed to find a not good Tom Petty record. And I know that this sounds like, you know, like a sort of like a not a great compliment, but the one thing that I would always say about Tom Petty was consistency. Like, if Tom Petty were going to release a record, it's going to be good. You know it. And if Tom Petty was gonna play out, it was gonna kick ass, and you knew it. It was one. Yep. He was dependable. He was one of the best songwriters and one of the best musicians ever. And I got to see him twice, and once with the Heartbreakers, and then once with him and Dylan switching off. Mm-hmm. And it was both times was fantastic, and just consistently one of the best, you know, rock and roll singers and songwriters of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my dad got me into him through the Wilburys. I think before I knew Tom Petty was a solo artist, I think I was young enough to get introduced to the Wilburys. And then that was right around, you know, the Full Moon Fever, Into the Great Wide Open,
yeah,
that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously records like Damn the Torpedoes are huge. I would recommend, you know, Wildflowers for me is pretty much the touchstone. But even the things right after that, the soundtrack to She's the One, this kind of forgettable Ed Burns movie,
mm-hmm.
It is really great. And then Echo, which is kind of a divorce album after that one. Those three right in a row are pretty magical. I wish people would go back and visit She's the One and Echo a little bit more. But yeah, again, like not... I'm staring at right now a box set of his latter day, kind of like from Wildflowers on, vinyl albums that I have that came out last year or 2 years ago. It's just a fantastic collection. And definitely been down the Tom Petty hole lately. So.
No. All right. Well, Jim, hang on, okay?
You bet.
All right. Jim Hanke is with us. He's the host of Vinyl Emergency. Lots to talk about. Record Store Day is coming up. Lydia Loveless is going to be live at a Vinyl Emergency podcast. We'll tell you all about that as well and much more. Any questions, record, vinyl, that kind of stuff, 312-981-7200. The news is coming up.
Must be why you turn away. You never ask me why I cry. I never sleep at night. I need you on my side.
Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about really weird laws that exist in different parts of the world and different states of here in the country. We're also going to talk about foods that were just bad ideas, things that were just bad ideas. And we'll have another round of Celebrity Name Game. That's all coming up. What you just heard there was, again, Lydia Loveless, a song called Clumps, and she is going to be appearing live on the Vinyl Emergency podcast this Thursday, next Thursday, I should say, that's the 16th at 4:30 at Pinwheel Records on 18th Street in Pilsen. And the host of Vinyl Emergency is Jim Hanke, and we welcome Jim back to the show. Welcome back, Jim.
Hey, Nick, thanks.
All right, let's start off here. Tell everybody about Lydia Loveless.
Sure. She's one of my favorite artists these days. She is an Ohio native, but she's on the local pie, I guess you would say, is that she's on Bloodshot Records, a label well-known in Chicago. Their roster is heavily filled with singer-songwriter types, I guess what you would label as alt-country, kind of ragged folk and Americana. They've released albums from some bands people would know, like the Waco Brothers, Robbie Foulkes, Alejandro Escovedo, the Old 97s, Justin Townes Earle, I know who you're familiar with.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spin Magazine compared her to, you know, basically like Stevie Nicks singing Born to Run, and I wouldn't say that that's far off. Mm. Her 2016 album Real was my favorite album of that year. She's currently on a solo acoustic tour in support of a new release called Boy Crazy and Singles, which is a collection of a 2013 EP she'd put out, as well as some non-album tracks and covers that she's done of Prince and Elvis Costello. So it should be a really great time. We're going to discuss her connection to vinyl over the years, some of her own catalog on vinyl. She'll perform a few acoustic songs before she goes over to the Hideout later that night for a proper show. She's actually doing two shows at the Hideout that week, one of which is already sold out. And she's got a new documentary as well coming out called Who is Lydia Lovelace? And music from that film will be presented on vinyl for Record Store Day's Black Friday edition, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great, man. And if people want to come down to the live Vinyl Emergency podcast with Lydia Lovelace, it's going to be Thursday, November 16th, starts at 4:30. It's at Pinwheel Records. At 1722 West 18th Street in Pilsen. So that sounds like it's going to be. You must be excited about that, huh, Jim?
Yeah, it should be good. We did our first one of these back in January, very first live episode. And you were kind enough to have me on back then to promote that. That went really, really great. I mean, we just packed the walls in that place. That was with Bob and Chris from the Chicago band Braid. And again, they did some acoustic songs, played, talked about some really cool memories they have of records growing up and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, this one we're expecting no less. It should be really great. And you know, you're a live podcaster now, too, technically.
Well, yeah, we did a live. We had a lot of fun a few weeks back. We did a we were part of the Chicago Podcast Festival at the Old Town School of Folk. And we did a live version of the segment that we do here called Wood Esmeralda by that. And we had a blast. It was fun doing it in front of an audience. It's a different energy, obviously.
It is. It is a different energy. And, you know, you're kind of on. You have the ability, you know, obviously, like, you know, you do live radio all the time. But for me, you know, I tend to edit these things together quite a bit. There's an intro to the interview that I do each week, a little bit of a music bed between some sponsors, that sort of thing. When all that goes out the window, you're just kind of there holding a microphone, you know. And you've done stand up before, obviously, and hosted quite a lot of stuff. So I'm still kind of gaining some experience with that. So it'll be fun nonetheless. It's going to be a really great time. And it's an experience for people to see her in an environment that's not a proper show, you know, for her to kind of talk about some things that are close to her about records in general that you wouldn't normally get, you know, just with onstage banter between songs.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so that's Thursday, November 16th, 4:30 p.m. at Pinwheel Records on 18th Street in Pilsen. Now, you said that the last time you guys did this, you had wall-to-wall people. Now, were you bothering the cat?
Marco was there and enjoying it quite a bit.
Okay, good.
Marco's great. Yeah. Pinwheel has a cat named Marco, an adopted cat who he's got a little bit of an eye problem. He's just a very adorable cat. He's got his own Instagram account at the store. I mean, it's great. I think it's Pinwheel Marco is the Instagram account.
Right.
Marco's great. Scott Schaff, who owns the store with his girlfriend Kim, Scott's been my friend for, gosh, going on probably 17, 18 years now, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they just do a great job over there. It is not, I want to make it clear, it is not the Barry experience with High Fidelity. Like, you're not going to bring in records and have them laugh at you or, you know, bring anything up to the counter and have them snicker. They've got a entire section dedicated to Huey Lewis and the News' album Sports.
Yes.
So that is basically telling you how unpretentious they are.
Yeah, one of my favorite features of the store is, in fact, they have an entire section dedicated to Huey Lewis and the News Sports.
That's right. That's right. It's pretty incredible.
Pretty great. So so that's coming up, very exciting for you. Well, let's talk about some of the vinyl numbers. What's going on in the business of vinyl?
Sure. Currently, as of last week, sales are up compared to last year, about 3.5%. Year-to-date total, we're looking at about 10.3 million albums sold. Now, that is a little bit of a downturn as far as growth goes. It's still growing. Vinyl sales rose 26% between all of 2015 and 2016. So, I mean, you're going up a little bit over a quarter there. So it might not see that kind of major growth this year. However, we have yet to see albums from Taylor Swift come out. U2 just announced they're dropping a new one. So, you know, those things might change because those artists have diehard fan bases. But to give you some perspective, as of where we were 10 years ago with vinyl, the first 4 weeks of October of this year eclipsed all vinyl sales for 2007.
Wow.
That's a really huge number. So when you're doing that amount in 1 month compared to 10 years ago, what you did for the entire year, that's a pretty crazy stat. So we're on pace to hit about 14 million vinyl sales this year. That is brand new LPs that we're talking about. So that doesn't count 45s. It doesn't count used records, obviously. And we're averaging weekly about 240,000 records on vinyl sold. Some of your bigger vinyl sellers this year have been the reissue of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, yeah.
Beatles. That was a big deal. Like, that's not just you know, oh, they repackaged another Beatles record. I mean, this quite literally, I think George Martin's son had a lot to do with remastering there.
Yeah.
Even digitally, if people go look this up on Spotify, it's incredible what they've done with the sound. Another one would be an album called Science Fiction from an indie rock band called Brand New. It's their first album in 8 years. They've got a really diehard fan base. The soundtrack to La La Land, huge seller on vinyl this year, obviously.
Is that right?
And, A lot of people loving that. And then Divide, a very popular album from Ed Sheeran. Those are kind of like some of the major new, you know, big sellers this year on vinyl. But again, like records from Bob Marley, Amy Winehouse, Metallica, these are classic albums that kind of always make the top 10 every year. Those are always going to be big sellers, it seems.
Okay. So the vinyl numbers are, well, at least they're maintaining, correct? But the numbers are bigger than they have been like in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It may not be as big, you know, growth wise between this year and last year as it was between 2016 and 2015, but you know, it's still on the rise. There's still pressing plants opening. There's still record stores opening. I mean, about 10 years ago, we were looking at record stores closing quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still on the uptick for sure.
Okay. All right. By the way, 312-981-7200. If you have a question or a comment about vinyl or records or anything like that, Jim Hanke is with us, and you can listen to the Vinyl Emergency podcast, part of the Now Playing Network, vinylemergency.com for more information. And you can subscribe to the podcast as well. And we're going to give you more information about Record Store Day, which is coming up on Black Friday, and much more. So there you go. All right, Jim, hang on, okay?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, Jim Hanke is with us, the host of Vinyl Emergency Podcast, and Record Store Day is coming up. We're going to give you details on that and some of the big releases that are going to be coming out in honor of Record Store Day. So, and again, questions, comments, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We will take a quick break, and we'll come back with more with Jim right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. That's Lydia Loveless, and she will be appearing at a live Vinyl Emergency podcast Thursday, November 16th, 4:30 p.m. at Pinwheel Records on 18th Street in Pilsen. That's a song called Steve Earle. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wildcard Wednesday, by the way. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200. It's any artist, any song, anything. Jim, tell me a little bit about that song.
Well, I thought you'd like that one, being that Steve Earle's your lead-in every week, you know, every night to your show. So, that comes from an album called Indestructible Machine from Lydia that came out a couple years ago. I think that was her second record. I think she's got four proper studio albums, but I thought you'd enjoy that one. It's, you know, not obviously true to life, but it's about this guy who kind of stalks her, and his name's Steve Earle, but it's really like a pseudonym for somebody else. But there's a line in there I thought you'd like, too, that says something about, you know, he's always bothering her or whatever, and she just asks, won't you introduce me to your son? it's neat, too. You know, Justin Towns, obviously, just through the scene and everything like that, so it's a neat song. I thought you'd enjoy that one.
Yeah, that's cool. Very, very, very cool. A couple of texts came in, and then we want to talk about Record Store Day. Okay, Jim?
Yeah, you bet.
773 area code says, how easy is it to press a record? It seems like anyone can do it now, but a few years ago, almost nobody did it.
Oh, man. I don't know about the physical pressing of a record. Like, it's easier, certainly, for bands to get their albums out on vinyl, but if you in your garage were going to press vinyl, good luck. You know, there's plenty of plants that are opening up now, very small independent jobs that are you know, assisting with bands, because we've talked quite a bit about it. Because of vinyl's resurgence, your average Chicago band, you know, has a hard time getting vinyl pressed just because of the delays. If you finish a record in the summer, you might not be putting that out till early the next year, just because of how popular vinyl is now, and you got to get in line behind all these bands, not just, you know, your Jack Whites of the world, your Bruce Springsteens, etc., but we're also talking about bands that you're competing with to get your record out on vinyl. So it's still a scientific hard process. Like, we've had on mastering engineers like Ed Brooks. He's worked with Pearl Jam, like the new Let's Play 2 film. Ed mastered that, not only for film, but also for vinyl.
Mm.
And he's been on the show before. We've also had Levi Seitz. He's from Black Belt Mastering out in Seattle. He actually, cut the vinyl for several Pearl Jam albums, including this one, actually like putting it to wax. You know, it's a long process. So the texter or caller, I would say, is it an easy process? Yeah, maybe once you get used to it and you've known the industry. It's easier for a band to get vinyl out now. You know, a lot of people are doing it, but there's still that long wait process to kind of get it out to the consumer, mm-hmm. for sure.
All right. 847 area code says, I see some vinyl is a different color than the standard black. Is that for any particular reason sound-wise, or is it just aesthetics?
It's pretty much just aesthetics. A lot of people, if you're going to get nerdy about it, a lot of people would say that clear vinyl might sound the best, because technically black counts as a color, because it basically this vinyl arrives like colorless. So technically black's a color, but that's always been the standard since, you know, records were basically created.
Yeah.
When you see a colored piece of vinyl, some people would actually argue that any colored vinyl hurts the sound quality of the record. I haven't found that to be the case. I've got records that are splatter colored, split colored. So like one side, that Pearl Jam record at Third Man I brought in last year, I believe,
yeah.
or maybe the year before that, was
gold down
one side and black down another, and that sounds fantastic. So it's just aesthetically pleasing to kind of see these records. They've done liquid filled records before. I know Jack White has. Crazy stuff, but it doesn't necessarily add to the audio value, but it's definitely a nice aesthetic, you know, kind of thing. And people are out there for these, you know, rare versions. Like if a band puts out a record today, they do a black version, and maybe they do a blue one and a red one. Those blue and red ones are gone before the black ones, for sure.
Now, you said the liquid filled ones, those are kind of fun. There's a soundtrack that has blood in it.
Yes, that is the Friday the 13th soundtrack.
That's it, yeah, Friday the 13th, yeah.
Yes, Waxwork, that's the company that did, if you remember, that copy of Shockwaves that made it your way.
Yeah.
I'm just looking up real quick to see what the worth of that Friday the 13th is. But it's just, it's incredible stuff. I mean, they basically did, I think it's limited to 100 copies, and it is blood-filled, and it's just... you just hold it, you know. Oh, yeah, here we go. We've got a copy on sale for $1,000 on the secondary market if you want to pick up a copy of that. But, yeah, it's just insane. They Waxwork does really great work. They've just put out the Exorcist soundtrack with some notes from William Friedkin in there. They continue to do awesome stuff. But, the liquid-filled stuff, it's funny, though. After a couple of years, I hear, this stuff starts to dry out. You know, so it's like, you know, you can really enjoy it for a limited amount of time before you hang it on your wall and it just looks like dust.
Yeah.
In there, basically. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Record Store Day. Tell everybody about that, Jim.
Sure. So Record Store Day started 10 years ago, and it happens every, I think, the third Saturday every April. And recordstoreday.com is a great place for people to go and look to see what record stores in their neighborhood are having events and selling some of these unique products on Record Store Day. So, like I said, they started 10 years ago. Then 7 years ago, they started their Black Friday edition. So they're kind of getting in on all the Black Friday madness. So while you're out buying your big TV or whatever from, you know, one of your big box stores, maybe stop into one of your local mom and pop record stores. So it's meant to kind of celebrate that independent mentality of record stores that we remember. And what it is that bands, artists, record labels, they all get together and they put out some rarer stuff for these Black Friday Record Store Day events. For instance, we talked about Steve Earle before. His record El Corazon is getting a 20th anniversary repressing, and it's limited to 2,500 copies. So that means throughout the country, there are only that many copies available. So depending, you know, your record store locally might not have it. They may have it, though, in droves. You never know. It's just one of those things where you go to your local record store and find out that day.
Yeah, God, I can't believe that record's. I can't believe that record's 20 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing. I mean, I say on the show all the time, I graduated high school in 97, and I know you graduated earlier than me. So some of these records from my youth that are now getting 25th anniversary pressings,
it's weird.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I love it, though, because a lot of that stuff was only available on CD before.
Right.
In my era, you know. So now that some of the stuff is getting vinyl for the first time, it's really cool.
What are some of the other Record Store Day Black Friday releases that you can talk about?
Sure. So, you know, some classic stuff like, okay, Janis Joplin's Greatest Hits. That's a well-known collection. That picture of her on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
A lot of people have that. But it actually hasn't been repressed, believe it or not, in 27 years.
Wow.
You know, so that's one that if you have it in your collection, you probably have either the one that came out in the 80s or maybe even an original copy. But that's going to be on green smoke-colored vinyl. It's limited to 3,500 copies. Otis Redding, Live in Europe. It's a 50th anniversary pressing of that. That's going to be on red vinyl, but it's going to be in mono. Neil Young's Harvest Moon, that's getting a 25th anniversary pressing. It's remastered, never before been available in the U.S. on vinyl. Some weird things, Leonard Nimoy's Mr. Spock's Music from Outer Space. This is originally pressed in 1967, not available on vinyl since 1987. So that's kind of a kooky buy for sure. Anthrax, they have a 7-inch picture disc single. Now, people might not know what picture discs are. Those are those ones where you pick up and it's clear vinyl. Technically, there's a picture inside the record. Like Disney does a lot of these, I'd say, and even some of your big pop stars like Katy Perry. But Anthrax is doing a 7-inch picture disc single. It's in the shape of the Anthrax logo. So you put this on your turntable, and then they have a White Stripes cover on one side, and then the other side is Carry On Wayward Son from Kansas. So if you need an Anthrax covers fix, that'll help you out, I think.
Anthrax covering Kansas. That's something right there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And now there's some holiday stuff, obviously, because we're pretty close to Christmas. Twisted Sister has a Christmas album from 2006 that's coming to vinyl. Cheap Trick has a Christmas album. They cover the Kinks, the Ramones, and some holiday classics. Now, Your and I is one of, like, unfavorite Christmas songs ever, Wonderful Christmas Time from Paul McCartney.
God.
He did a version of that with The Roots, which is going to be on 7-inch vinyl. But the flip side of that is kind of interesting. The band The Decemberists, who I really love, they actually covered Jesus Christ from Big Star the other side.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. So maybe one side will be good, one side will be iffy. You never know.
Yeah.
But two things that popped out to me, Nick, that I think we might see you in line on Record Store Day. You never know. The Silver Linings Playbook soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
The vinyl with Stevie Wonder, Les Paul and Mary Ford, Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash, Rare Earth, Danny Elfman, that's on vinyl this year. That's going to be on green and silver vinyl. So I don't know if that's going to be split colored or a mix between those two colors or what have you. And then, I mean, this popped out to me, and I honestly, I know I try to bring you gifts every time I'm on. I really did try to get this before it hit shelves. Couldn't do it. But what I believe to be one of, if not the favorite album, live album of all time from you, Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, Live at Luther College.
Yeah.
Is coming out on a 4 LP set.
Good Lord.
So I mean that's something that's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, obviously. That's one of my favorite albums ever. It really is, and it's my favorite anything Dave Matthews, you know, related. It's my favorite thing is Live at Luther College. It's just an amazing record. So wow, that's cool.
They do a lot of great stuff for Record Store Day. I think one or two Record Store Days ago, they put out Live at Red Rocks on vinyl, and that itself was like a 3 or 4 LP set. So whenever they do these live albums, obviously because they jam, you know, you got to pick up 4 or 5 records worth.
Exactly. So. Well, all right. Well, that's great. Record Store Day, Black Friday releases. Those are some of the highlights of that. And you can go to recordstoreday.com for more information there. And to listen to Vinyl Emergency, it's really easy. Just go to vinylemergency.com. And make sure you come on out Thursday, November 16th, 4:30 p.m. at Pinwheel Records in Pilsen to see the Vinyl Emergency live podcast with special guest Lydia Loveless. Jim, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great holiday if I don't talk to you.
Hey, you too as well. Thanks again for having me.
All right, buddy. Take care. There you go. Jim Hanke, everybody. He's awesome. VinylEmergency.com is the website. News is coming up next on 720 WGN.